B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, let's find out what happened at training camp today as they did the Ravens situation, and they got what they got out of that. So today is the day before the game, and what are we looking for? We call on our man Tim McManus, who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. He is brought to us by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast at Training Camp, online at trainingcamp.com. All right, Timmy, here's the official word. Carson Wentz out for game three.
Well, the official word never comes when it comes to these preseason games. Doug Peterson has played it the same way for the first 2 weeks as he is for the third, where he says, oh, I haven't made that decision. We're going to make that decision late. If we follow what the trend was for the first two, he kind of played that game, and ultimately none of the first team offense really played. And it seems like we're trending in a similar direction. They've really been hyping up the idea of, and it's been true, about getting a lot of work in practice. Of course, they had 2 days with the Ravens to do those joint practices, which they tried to simulate as a game setting, did like a scrimmage type on day one. And so I don't think we're going to see a whole lot, if any, of that first team offense.
All right. What did you learn about the Eagles in live competition in the Ravens practices?
What did I learn about the offense? What did
you learn about the team in general, both offensively and defensively?
Yeah. Well, I learned that I would say on the first day, the defense for the Ravens got the better of Carson Wentz and the offense, but I think that they had a bit of a bounce back day on day two. Carson Wentz in particular, you know, looked a lot better on going up against the secondary, which may end up being the best secondary in the NFL, and just some pretty laser passes that he had to Zach Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey, a beauty of a deep ball that he had to Mac Hollins that only Hollins could have gotten. He dropped it, but not because of Wentz. And so I think that it was encouraging seeing that from the quarterback, kind of adapting and being able to go up against and pretty much excel against one of the best units in football. I would also say that, you know, the more and more that we go on here, the more that the running back talent is beginning to show itself. I think that's one thing that has become apparent throughout training camp and emphasized in those joint practices against the Ravens. So there's just a, you know, an upgrade in talent from what they've had, particularly last year. I mean, from Miles Sanders to Jordan Howard, and I would say this is the best that Corey Clement has looked since probably 2017, the way that I saw him against Baltimore. So I think that they're in good shape in a lot of positions, particularly on offense.
Okay, so the presumption is that these practice situations would be enough for Carson Wentz to start the season. Is that what you feel?
Yeah, I generally do. Because if he were to go in, it would be for a short amount of time. So if he gets, and this is the point that Zach Ertz made a couple days ago, like if I'm playing in this preseason game, I'm going to get, what, like 12 reps tops. As opposed to these joint practices, I'm getting like first team reps, and not live action, but quasi live action against, you know, first team defense. So I do feel like, you know, the logical way that this thing is trending both in Philadelphia and elsewhere is that you get the bulk of your work in a controlled environment because the risk versus the reward just isn't there. That's not to say that Wentz couldn't benefit from a little bit of work in a preseason, because there is a difference between game action and simulated game action. But it's just about whether the risk reward is there. And ultimately, you know, is Wentz's performance really going to hinge on whether he gets a handful of snaps? And ultimately, I think the answer is no.
All right. So, but you know, so we've been discussing this topic already. Does this fan base give him a little leeway in game one, game two, that he's still feeling his way, when maybe preseason could have taken care of? Are we expecting him to be sharp, and is it right to expect him to be sharp from game one on?
Yeah, I think some leeway should be given, and it's really because of this for me. I think that Wentz is going to have to transition into Carson Wentz 2.0. Things that we've been picking up on, he's not he's not really jumping out of the pocket. He's been operating almost exclusively in the pocket all summer long. When we asked him about that this week, you know, he basically made the point of, I have all of these weapons. Why would I run if I can just, you know, dish it out to these guys? I think that there's been a shift in mentality. Of course, he's coming off of the two major injuries. And I think that he is going to try to operate within the structure of the play a whole lot more than we were accustomed to seeing over the first 3 years of him in the NFL, which means there's going to be a feeling out period, because there's going to be the instincts of old versus kind of the new teachings of the new. And how do you balance that? And when's the right time to escape? And when's the right time to hang in there? And I think that there is going to be an adjustment period there. And that's why I think that a little bit of leeway should be given. Now, who knows? Maybe this offense comes out gangbusters.
Then I must be a hard-hearted man, because I'm not giving him any leeway.
You're not.
No, because, you know, the way they have gone through this preseason, they keep telling you the practices are fine, blah, 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 blah. He doesn't have to play. So then I'm expecting him right out of the gate to play well. I don't give him any leeway.
Okay. You know, but the other side is that he does have some new weapons to work with. He has to figure out how to distribute all that. And the biggest thing for me is that I do think that he's going to be playing a different kind of football. I mean, it's not going to look radically different, but I think it's going to be an adjustment in terms of being a quarterback that's so used to extending plays to somebody that's going to try to operate within the construct. So for that reason, exclusively, I would say that's where I think some leeway should be given, or at least you shouldn't expect the kind of finished product to be in front of your eyes week one, week two.
Okay. All right. I'm a hard-hearted man, Natalie. I guess I am. And Natalie agrees, kind of.
Well, I said 2 weeks. Anthony said a month. I said 2 weeks before the harsh criticism comes
in. Really?
You said a week. I don't think they can lose any games.
Okay.
Yeah, and of course we can all put whatever timelines we want, and then the first game will happen, and you know everybody will get emotional and react like crazy anyway.
Yeah. Probably
for
right.
1 week, no matter what timeline.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, so will this third preseason game be the difference, you think, between the Eagles keeping 4 or 5 running backs? And if so, who has the most to gain here?
I think that is the most probably enticing, I don't know if you want to call it battle or situation, roster decision that the Eagles have to make. Currently, I was just looking at a 53, like what would I do? And I have them keeping 4. Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard, Corey Clement, Darren Sproles. That would put Wendell Smallwood on the outside. That would put Josh Adams on the outside. And, you know, I think it really would come down to, you know, Boston Scott has been impressive in spots. I think that, you know, there's other demands at other positions and levels of depth that it would be really hard to get rid of somebody and justify having a fifth back to me. I think that, you know, that this is what the third game is about for guys at the running back position. You know, can Smallwood make a final impression or Adams make a final impression to really state his case? Like he should be on this 53 man. I would say the same thing applies to wide receiver. You know, Greg Ward or Mark and Michelle, can one of those guys squeeze on? Right now I have them keeping 5. But one of these guys can make a case that there should definitely be a 6. So that's where, yeah, some of this value is. And I think some of the intrigue from watching it from a fan's perspective is to see these guys who are scrapping for a final roster spot to see if they can change some minds kind of last second year.
Is there any chance that either of those two receivers that you mentioned could be the 5 and Hollins is out or no?
I would say no to that with Hollins being healthy because of what he gives on special teams. I think that will probably trump you know, the intrigue that you would have from a receiver perspective for one of these other guys. because Hollins would be, in theory, superior on special teams. And when you're getting down to kind of the bottom of the roster, like who's going to be filling out the game day roster, I think that's kind of what takes precedence. When you already have guys like Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, Nelson Agholor, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside that can fill some of those primary roles for you.
I know linebackers did not consider it a very important position these days in, around the league and by the Eagles, but they seem to be really scrambling at linebacker. So, like, what's going on there, and what are their concerns?
Well, yeah, and there's the difference, I think, Mike, between, you know, the position not putting, like, a ton of resources in there. I understand that philosophically. I don't disagree with it. You know, where they're putting their emphasis at other positions, like along the lines, corner, quarterback, obviously. Like generally, I'd buy into that. But that's not to say that they couldn't be in better shape or that it might not present an issue, even if the position is getting devalued. Because we haven't seen Nigel Bradham at full tilt yet. He's still recovering from from foot surgery and isn't quite feeling himself yet. And the regular season is like right there on the horizon now. And the co-starter, projected co-starter, would be Kamu Grugier-Hill, and he's going to be out for the beginning of the season. So all of a sudden, you're dipping into depth where you don't really have depth. Zach Brown and L.J. Fort and Nathan Gary all of a sudden come to kind of the fore for you. So I think that it's a spot that definitely needs to be watched and could become an issue, especially early while you're waiting for guys like Bradham and Grugier-Hill to come back and be at full form.
Okay. All right. So tomorrow, big game three, and this will be the game that we can even not even pay attention to the following week. I can't wait for the season to get here. This is like the longest time I had to wait for a season. Maybe it just seems that way, but.
I hear you. We'll get some more clarity as we get closer as to exactly who's going to be playing in this third game. You know, Jason Peters said yesterday he thinks he'd like to play a half. So, mm-hmm.
So we'll know tomorrow.
So maybe, some more bodies than we first were anticipating will end up being on the field. So I guess we'll have to stay tuned for that.
All right, Timmy. Thank you, man. We'll appreciate you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'll talk to you.
There's Tim McManus covering the Eagles for ESPN.com. And he is, of course, brought to us by the great folks at Training Camp. That's right, Training Camp. If you want to get IT certified, Training Camp is where you go. Online at trainingcamp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.